Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
Nope, I was done last night. I know you're thinking of somebody else. Someone who hurt you, but I'm not above making up for the love you've been denying you could ever feel. Sausage hands. I'm not above doing anything to restore your faith if I can. Some people see through the eyes of the old before they ever get a look at the young.
Yeah, just like a mosaic, you fucker.
I'm only willing to hear you cry because I am an innocent man.
See this bitch? Why this bitch not dead? Your question was valid, Aaron. He's the idiot here.
Hey, and welcome back to the Brotherhood of Batman. I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I produce this mess. Thanks for tuning back in.
I'm Ben, your sunshine into Gotham, and I just so happen to be the youngest of the trio.
And I'm Jake. I'm the middle brother. I'm the one that came up with the crazy list of comics that we read through each week here on the Brotherhood of Batman, a podcast hosted by three brothers who get together, read comics, mostly Batman, in an order that I came up with, talk about anything geeky that we feel like, and just have a good old time. Welcome back.
Wow. Did Jake finally break the curse of going third, Ben? I feel like he hasn't screwed up in a while, so we need to take a break from him going third.
He needs to just go first, because he will never be able to do.
Fair.
I think I actually fear first more than anything now.
Noted.
Because I don't know what you... What do you say when you go first?
I just said it.
I don't listen. I don't.
Well, that's what you and Aaron have in common.
I am trying to get ready for the positions that I don't want to be in, so... What's been going on in your geeky little worlds, guys?
Oh.
Stop talking about comic books or I'll
what do you think you're doing,
you.
Nerd?
Stop spending
get those
cash
words!
Nerd!
Nerd!
Or I swear to God,
geek.
You're gonna spend your 20 years alone.
Geek.
I mean, I'm the Batman of geeks, bitch.
I have enjoyed seeing the new Disney movie, Wish. I have seen it twice in theaters, thanks to our movie pass. I don't feel guilty going to see the same thing multiple times when you're paid for it already. So that's been fun. I got to go with your wife and Bat Baby.
Bat Baby.
And he enjoyed the popcorn. He did not enjoy the movie, but I did.
Because there's no paws and no patrolling.
No paw patrolling, yes.
Yeah.
He doesn't like anything that isn't Paw Patrol or like toy truck commercials.
Yep.
What if it was like actors pretend? Is there like a Paw Patrol like on stage or like a lot Paw Patrol on ice? Would he like that or would he be upset that they're not cartoons?
No, he would like it. He would like it.
Okay.
That's a valid question.
What if it's the characters from Paw Patrol but they're cosplaying as something else?
Furries?
Yes.
So he really likes like the mission settings or like where they just have to achieve some goal. He doesn't like conflict and anything that has villains or something that could be deemed as somewhat scary, he doesn't like.
Yeah,
you know, I'm gonna push back there, Jake. Before we started recording, you were saying that your child was embracing zombicide, so I feel like that's just a contradiction.
No,
right
I'm
now.
Trying, Aaron. I'm trying. I get a little chainsaw into his hands and stick him on some zombies, and we'll see what happens.
But that's achieving a mission.
Oh, that's true. It is mission-based.
I feel like...
So he'll do whatever it needs to be for the mission.
Achieving missions is very close to conflict resolution. But yes, he did
With a chainsaw, conflict resolution is easier.
He did not complain about the movie until the villains started being villainy. So, like, the green flames and smoke and his eyes glowing, and that's when he started being like, I don't like this. So I was like, okay. He was quiet and watching and focused until the villains started being villainy.
He doesn't even like the second Paw Patrol movie. We watched it when it came out in the theaters, and he has not wanted to watch it since it came to streaming.
Wait, there's a second one?
Yes.
I didn't know there
Because there is more of a... It is more super... It's all superhero-oriented.
He didn't like that one?
He doesn't want to watch it. We've tried to put it on a couple times since it came to streaming.
I'm so sick of superheroes, Dad.
Well, it's got a super villain, and there's a giant meteor shower that threatens the town.
And so it gets a little bit more intense, and he's like, nope, I'm out.
Interesting.
He's just a stuffed animal loving little guy.
That's fair.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And chainsaws. Can you get a little stuffed chainsaw?
I'm trying. I'm really trying. He preferred the sub SMG, so, you know.
What? Is that a gun?
Machine gun? Yeah, no. It's a type of machine gun.
The one thing I agree with Batman on is I don't like guns.
That's fair.
It's the one thing that I agree with Batman on.
Okay.
Anything
apart
else?
From Batman Year 2? I've started reading this pretty fun series. It's called Dungeon Crawler Carl. And it's kind of like a D&D story where the entire world is like taken over by this alien race or whatever. You find this out in the first 10 pages. And everything above ground and anyone in a building is immediately killed as every building collapses into earth. And the entire earth has been turned into an 18-level dungeon crawl. That anyone that is still surviving can choose to either fend for themselves on the open land where there's nothing inside and nothing available. Or they can choose to enter the dungeon where they can try to reclaim things and level up with the possibility of escaping if they get to a high enough level.
What company is this, and are you enjoying it?
I am enjoying it. I don't know the company. I think it was based off of like an online series or something that they published and put into print. But it's finished the first book, and I'm almost done with the second. It's pretty fun. It's definitely if you're a fan of RPGs or games or D&D and whatever, it's...
When you say finish first book, do you mean first trade?
It's like not comic, it's a story.
Oh, it's actually...
I did the exact same thing when he told me about it at Thanksgiving. I'm like, so who...
Novel,
like, what do you
novel
think of,
based.
What do you think of the art style? He's like, no, it's a real book, Jake.
That's really bad. Yeah, I literally was like, that's why I said company, because I was like...
Yeah, yeah.
DC, Marvel Image?
And then he's like, I don't know. I was like, how do you not... There's like six.
And then he's like, it's some off-brand. I'm like, oh, no.
To be fair, my line of sight right now is Aaron's very nice new setup of his comic book. So yeah. I was actively looking at it while you were talking. So
no, I'll bring
excuse.
You down the first one. But it's fun. It's definitely a fun read. I've enjoyed it. So I'm picking up, going to try to finish the series. But
when you showed me the book when I got here, and if I'm remembering right, the cover says it's going to be televised, right? It's going to be a TV show, maybe?
No. The story... The story is like a televised reality show where contestants get pulled out of the dungeon to appear on talk shows and be speaking engagements and
now
everything
I'm interested.
Everything
kind of like Running Man and
kind
like,
of Running Man-ish. Everything that's done in game is being watched around the universe by trillions or whatever, and everybody that's a contestant gets followers, views, and sponsors. So you can get better loot boxes if you have more sponsors and that kind of thing. So it's definitely
should have led with that.
I'm
to get
sorry.
My interest.
But yeah, it's definitely fun. Yeah.
Nice.
That's what's been going on?
Non-comic books being read.
we've been playing a lot of games at home. I talked about, you guys just mentioned that we were getting Bat Baby into Zombicide this morning. That was fun. We've been playing Rory Story Cubes with him a lot. That's been a good time. I don't know if you guys have ever seen those.
Rory Story Cubes. I think I have.
Oh, Sarah was telling me about it a little bit.
They are just
dice.
Images on dice, and you roll them, and then you have to tell a story with whatever the dice are showing. And so getting his imagination, and, you know, it's fun to watch, like, he'll have a beginning, and then it'll be like, and then the boat came, and then the fireman was there, and then it was all okay. Like, all right, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah,
that's fun. We've been playing a lot of, one of Sarah's favorite games is the DC deck building game.
Yeah.
So we've been playing that a few times lately, and... there's a version of it now where instead of racing to defeat villains, you're actually battling against each other. And we played that version. It's called Confrontations. We played that version for the first time, and that's been a lot of fun. So probably playing that like once a week lately. And so it's been good. We used to board game a lot, and we haven't as much in the last few years, mostly because with Bat Baby by bedtime, we're just exhausted and ready to call it a night. And so... Getting back into that has been very exciting, and trying to not do the Jake thing and buy like 20 new games.
Yeah. So you're talking about the storytelling games. Have you played Once Upon a Time? I think it is.
I don't know. Do we play it here?
I don't know. It's a storytelling fairy tale where you have cards and you got to add to the story.
Sounds nice. Familiar.
It's pretty fun.
It does sound familiar.
And then Storybook is a game I found at like Five Below or something, where it's a deck of cards and every card's got a picture, or random image or object with the word on it. And so if the three of us were playing, I would draw the first card and say it's a block of cheese, which is one of the cards. I would have to start the story with a block of cheese. Mm. And then I would pass the cards back to Ben. Ben would retell with a block of cheese, draw the next card, and continue the story. And then it goes around to Jake, and you keep going until somebody screws up. So.
I remember
it was pretty fun, too.
Playing something similar. You have to remember what the other people said.
Yeah, you have to try to remember what's next in the story and what you've said.
I remember playing that with your wife, and she was dangerously good at it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's dangerously good at the fairy telling.
Like the improv storytelling. Yeah.
Nice.
And then I guess a little bit of Week in Geek, that precursor. We're all hanging out at Aaron's today because after recording these episodes, we're going to be doing a little Tekken tournament, I think. Uh-huh. Us and the boys, the youths.
Yeah.
We're going to wail on some teenagers. And
I'm fully prepared to lose. I'm here for the pizza and the camaraderie. I have not played. I have not been practicing.
I have not either since we came up with the idea.
Oh, I haven't.
I like
but
you're
I
adding
touched
disclaimers
it in like,
because Toby has been playing.
I have not played in like 2 years. And when I did, I played casually for a month. And before that, it was like 10 years before that. So I am prepared to.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Oh,
it'll
I'm
be
not
fine.
Actually worried.
Okay.
So we'll have to report back. It's going to be exciting. Tekken was the game. We've talked about it a couple times on the show, but it was the game that the three of us probably played the most together, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
How so. I'm going to actually make myself feel better is I'm going to select random.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to lose, I want to lose with someone I don't play as.
That's fair.
Yeah. That's, yeah, that's how I'm going into this. Yeah. And again, pizza.
Yeah,
it's fair. Yeah, we'll have to figure that out.
One final thing that reminded me of, so video games and playing together in a room.
Thought we'd get out of this without a Final Fantasy reference.
I'm not actually going to do that. Oh. So every okay, you know what? Fuck you. Let's go ahead and talk about Batman. I don't want to talk. That's fine.
Oh, come on.
Go ahead. Share with the class.
So Josh and I are planning a trip to Slovenia, so that'll be the next place you have to hear about. Fuck both of you.
Come on.
So I, of course, like playing my little RPGs, but Josh occasionally gets me to play some Nintendo games with him, and he got the new Mario Wonder.
Oh, okay.
It's, what's that? It's the newest, like, Mario platformer. You can play up to 4 people all in the same room.
Oh, nice.
So that was really fun. And the different characters have, like, slightly different abilities. There's, like, Yoshis that you can play as, and the Yoshis don't take damage, and the Yoshis can also carry people.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So you can, like, there's strategy to, like, either the adult
teamwork
could be...
Teamwork and all that.
You ride your partner.
Yeah, yeah. Right, yes. You can ride people, save the little children, or let the children be the ones that aren't getting the damage. Like, just strategy to how you want to do it. So Josh and I have been playing that together, and we, like, had some friends over, and it was fun to... It fits right in with what we're about to do now. It's fun to actually get to play in a room with people.
Yeah.
Because I enjoy one-player games, but... I don't like the, like, online play. I never really got into that. And so I miss the games that was, like, more than one or two people in a room together. And so 4 in a room together on the Switch was really fun.
So 4 people playing. Is it 4 panel screen? Is it split?
It's all together.
Okay.
And each level, you get... There's one person that's, like, leading. So that person is the one that the screen is following. So if people get too far behind, they, like, temporarily die. And they have to try to, like...
Oh,
their
gotcha.
Their little ghost catch up to the person with the crown, and then they're brought back.
Okay.
And you have like 5 seconds to like hit the person with the crown, but it's all collaborative, so you don't want your people to be dying.
No, that sounds fun.
Yeah, but sometimes there's strategy of like, I don't really have the skill to like jump down and get this thing without dying, so I'm just gonna die and then float my little self back up to the person in charge. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. So nice. Mario's a good time.
Now, I'm pretty naive when it comes to video games. Is Nintendo everything's on the Switch now, right? Like,
there might be some other stuff, but that's what we're
that's pretty
playing.
Much their platform
okay.
right now. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay.
Yeah, until they come up with something. Nice. We Toby and I and Connor, sometimes the three of us will play Fortnite together as trios, mm-hmm. since we have enough devices that have accounts. So it's kind of nice to be able to still play, even though Toby might play from his room, or we will bring the PlayStation upstairs and
yeah,
two
you're
of us
still
will be on the Switch, one will be on the PlayStation, and we'll just kind of like try to, you know, do it. So it's still fun that way, too.
But, nice.
Yeah.
So, what do we talk about some Batman?
Sure.
All right, so this week we're covering Batman, Bruce Wayne Fugitive, Volume 2. This trade collects Detective Comics 768 through 772, Gotham Knights 31, and Batman 605. So we ended Volume 1 with Batman deciding to reconnect. Oh, Aaron, do you just want to read the thingy?
Yeah, I'll just read the thingy.
Let's just read the thingy. I forgot they used to have that in there. All right, I'm not going to give a recap.
What has gone before? Convicted of the murder of his former girlfriend, Vesper Fairchild, Bruce Wayne escaped from Blackgate Prison before he could stand trial and is now wanted by the police. I'm going to stop there because he can't be convicted of murder if he haven't stand trial. Anyway, for reasons he refuses to explain, Batman has renounced his Bruce Wayne identity, saying there's no one to clear of the crime. He has locked down the Batcave and withdrawn from his family, Nightwing, Oracle, Robin, Batgirl, and Alfred. Nor has he been in touch with Sasha Bordeaux, Wayne's bodyguard and Batman's latest costume trainee, left in prison as an accessory to Wayne's alleged crime. Oracle continues the investigation into what really happened and who could have killed Fairchild. She has Black Canary break into a bank to access Fairchild's original notes on her investigation into Batman's identity. A detailed analysis reveals that these originals are subtly different from the notes found in her apartment. Similarly, Alfred finds a journal Batman has been keeping, and he too notices discrepancies. Someone's been in the Batcave, and it falls to Nightwing and Robin to determine how it was accomplished, which in turn might point to the perpetrator. Indeed, a way has been found complete with devices to thwart the world's best security systems. Robin's study of surveillance tapes shows someone on the grounds, confirming their belief it was not Wayne after all. Batgirl studies Fairchild's body and discovers she had been nerve-punched, rendering her unconscious and pliable in the murderer's hands. That's just weird. The body was left for Wayne in Bordeaux to find just as Batman returned from patrol after 9/11 had been called. Nightwing and Batgirl recreate... I know
not
I said
9/11.
9/11 had been called. Nightwing and Batgirl recreate the murder scene to learn more about how everything was accomplished. Their success is only partial. They know how, but not who or why. A chance meeting with a dying detective who comforted 8-year-old Bruce Wayne the night his parents were murdered shocks Wayne back to his senses. When he needed his family most, he turned from them, but now he knows he cannot find the murderer on his own. He contacts Oracle and picks up their relationship as if nothing has changed. Of course, everything has changed.
All right, so that's all well and good. I enjoyed the last couple of episodes we had done. Then we get to this, and they're like, let's kind of like do a drug story. And it felt, this started with what to me felt like a lot of padding, whereas the 100%. Other ones were really tight.
Yes, I 100% agree with you. And it wasn't until probably the 3/4 of the way through this trade that you come to realize that, okay, well, everything that they're putting in here is actually connected and it is leading somewhere. But those strings were not enticing enough that, like, I was trudging through this to read it. I'm like, oh, crap, this is just a volume of filler. Like, maybe we should have just jumped to volume 3 to see who framed him. How are they going to make him innocent? And what are they going to do? And that all gets tied up at the very end of this book after a pretty long, drawn-out drug story.
The one thing I enjoyed in the middle was, unlike Volume 1 of Fugitive, we actually get some Sasha Bordeaux. We get to see what she's doing in here. And it's her still in prison or jail or whatever the hell. And they're like, okay, so you just need to, like, rat him out. And so we get a bit of her thought process. And she's like, maybe I will just, you know, say he did it. Because why am I throwing myself in here? And it's her really analyzing her role as a bodyguard and how much she values that and how much she cares about Bruce on different levels. So I enjoyed that issue in the middle of a kind of bleh trade.
So she was, you mentioned her trying to decide whether she's going to turn. She was approached in jail by Amherst, who is like basically what, CIA, NSA, works for Luther.
Yeah, we find out that was hired by, or he's assigned by Luther.
Yeah. So somehow whoever's behind things is some wrapped up with Luther and things, which is cool.
Sounds
which
suspicious.
I kind of like. Yeah. And so he's approaching her to try to get her to flip when they're, like, talking in prison, which I did enjoy that piece. The part, you guys haven't read Volume 3 yet. I read that. I feel like the two of these could have combined to one volume. It could have just been filtered out a little bit.
Yeah. So she, Aaron, in your recap of reading, you said that he had never been convicted. enough time has been going on in this story in their world outside of jail. She has stood trial now, and she has been convicted. Mm-hmm. She stands life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Right. Yeah.
And that's when they approach her and like, look, we will get you out of this. All you need to do is confess and, you know, throw Bruce under the bus.
She thinks all you need is love for Bruce. That's what she thinks.
So... it's not her that she writes the confession.
Mm-hmm.
She,
yeah.
She puts it on paper. She's ready to flip. And then she gets a visitor. And her visitor is one Mr. Alfred Pennyworth,
mm-hmm.
who's like got the world's best timing ever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does.
So I'm thinking, like,
he's
do you
like
think
knuckle cracking, dusting off, right. and like, let me stretch before I go in and
save the
save
day.
Bruce's ass one more time.
Well, that's the
but
whole
said
thing
with
is
an
like
English accent.
His whole he
try
goes,
it, Aaron.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah. I
can we hear
that.
It?
No.
His whole thing is to go and talk to
maybe
her.
Maybe after I get back from Sylvania.
Be a lot of Dracula. I don't know why.
That is not where that's from.
I know, but it just makes me think of Dracula.
But on The Amazing Race, when I okay. discovered I love Sylvania, they also got that confused and thought that's where he was from. Sylvania.
I know he's not, but I just yeah. feel like...
sounds like it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
that's
so,
what y'all get.
I'm wondering, maybe, I don't know if you guys agree or not, do you think that they have... so she thinks she's been abandoned, right? She thinks that he... Batman used her... and left her in the dust.
Which
Alfred confirms he did.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
However, the timing of this, do you think they still have tabs on her? Do you think Alfred knew she had been approached? Do you think there's somebody
I mean,
watching?
Yes, Oracle's watching. She has to be watching. She watches the Joker all the time. She's not going to have a feed into her cell where Sasha is and know what's going on. Or
I think
a feed
she does,
into
yeah.
the visitor room. She's got to. I feel like they don't need to tell us. I don't know. I don't think they need to tell us at this point. I think if you've been reading along enough, you know Oracle's keeping tabs on what she needs
yeah,
to keep tabs on.
Yeah, but then that just makes them all bigger assholes, because then they're really only looking out for Sasha at all when it benefits them.
Isn't that Bruce's PO?
Yeah, it's Bruce's, but we're talking about Alfred and Oracle. And
okay.
I just want to like the Bat fam other than Bruce more than that.
But the coincidence is too...
it's a comic book.
I guess so.
I believe that she could be doing it, but I don't like that.
True.
And he doesn't come and tell her not to do anything. He's just like, I just want you to know that, yes, he used you. Yes, he left you here. But originally, he picked you because he liked you.
He thought you had good qualities. You didn't get a cool name. You're still Sasha, but
and he's like, if he didn't want you to know his secret, you wouldn't know. And yeah. the only reason you do is because he liked you. I'm like, okay, Alfred, you're not super supporting your case here. Like, true.
It works.
It does work.
And she changes her mind. And
and she's still in jail.
The other really big thing worth noting in this trade is that it is a rare occasion of Batman sort of apologizing.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets to his little fam and he's like, hey, I'm sorry. you're all needed and I appreciate you.
And I'm not an easy person to know.
Yes. And he does finally tell them, he says, I didn't do it. Which he was too prideful and psycho in the previous issues to actually tell them out loud that he had not killed her. And here he tells them that he did not kill her.
How do you feel, and maybe this is next week. If it is, I apologize and I'll scratch this. How do you feel about Dick accepting his apology?
That is this week, and that's the last issue of the trade. Dick picks him up or gets him, or Batman picks Dick up to go to the rendezvous where the Bat family is all back at the Batcave to meet because Bruce wants to tell them something.
Right. I was very mad at Dick for accepting his apology that quickly.
Yes, but I bought it because they all have issues.
True.
And what we saw in the first part of this whole saga, Bruce Wayne murderer, was Dick being like, he's my daddy now, because he's been like officially adopted. And so he really, and he was on the train of like, trust him no matter what. So
whether or not I like it for the grand scheme of how big of an asshole Bruce is and how much I like Dick Grayson, I bought it in the context of the story that he would forgive him immediately.
Well, because he has been unrelenting in his belief that, Bruce did not do it.
Okay. Yeah.
And so the apology comes from Dick first. He's, Bruce, I'm sorry I punched you. And Bruce is like, no, I'm sorry I punched you. And he's like, well, it's the same thing. We fought. You know, it's like, at that point, it's almost like a brotherly conversation. It's like, you know, we were, right, you know, trading blows and stuff. And Bruce is like, no, no, no. Like, I actually fucking deserved it, Dick. Like, you were in the right. And that apology coming from Bruce is...
God, I'd love if he just, like, hauled off and smacked him while he was driving. It's like,
you deserve this too, bitch!
I took it more... Like, it could be brotherly, like little brother, big brother... but I took it almost, I took it more father son. Like if a son like hits his father, that's bad. But if a father hits his son, it's a power dynamic. Batman hitting Dick is worse than Dick hitting Batman. Not just because he's specifically wrong here, but I took it as a power dynamic of you don't hit your child. That's how I took it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of a cute moment of like, you know, that's all that's really said. And then Bruce is like, okay, do you want to know how I figured it out before I tell everybody else? And there's kind of these little smirks between the two of them. Like, oh, like that's the Batman-Robin dynamic that they have had for decades between them now. And to know that that's still there despite all the bullshit that they have to go through.
Okay.
I like that moment a lot.
Yeah.
That's and fair. Then he gets to the cave and he explains it to everybody.
Yes. And we get a full-blown... So
not
this
the
is...
cave. Is
yeah,
it the cave?
It's at the cave. Okay.
Yeah, it's the cave, I think.
This is the final issue, and we get the full-blown explanation of he has figured out who framed him.
It was Roger Rabbit.
And, guys, we're jumping to the last issue.
There's nothing else to talk about.
But really, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
There's a small bit that I do want to back up for, which we can do it if we... Later. we get our first real big introduction to Checkmate here, which we haven't talked about before on the podcast. Checkmate is a, I don't know if it's government run or if it's so secretly funded that we don't know who runs it,
right,
but it's an agency actually developed by Amanda Waller for super covert operations and stuff. It's themed after a chessboard, so there's Black King and Queen,
right.
And, you know, that run different sides of the intel and everything. So one of the characters that Batman's involved with for the first arc of this story, David Syed, comes out as a member of Checkmate. And
I keep reading it as David said. And I was like, David said what? Tell me what he said.
Yeah, definitely the first like four panels that happens. I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about?
I did too, but then he corrects somebody on the pronunciation of his name in the book. I'm like, I am the asshole. Okay. And so Checkmate is involved in this drug story that's going on, and it's got Batman involved, but it's tied to the people that were involved with hiring the person who framed Bruce. It was what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And it's Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Which is so exciting and ties into all this shit about him being president that we've been reading.
And I feel like we should have seen it coming. Did you see it coming? Lex behind a lot of it.
All right, so that's a big complaint I have about this book, is if you get it in the trade paperback form that we have, it has the fucking villain on the cover, which is the thing I didn't want to happen. And if you, but it's not immediately a wreck. It's not like a smiling Joker face or something. It's somebody that's a little bit unknown.
I thought that shadow was just what the world saw
really
Bruce Wayne as.
Pay attention to the shadow.
Because it's just violent guy with guns. So I was like, okay, this is just what the world thinks Bruce Wayne Fugitive is right now.
So Lex, obviously, is the president. He's not going to get his hands dirty directly. He passes this down a chain of people, and this Amherst guy hires somebody to frame Bruce Wayne.
Yep.
They don't want to kill Bruce Wayne. They want to do, what did they call it? I wrote it down.
It's like a character assassination.
There you
basically
go. Thank you. Yeah, character assassination of Bruce Wayne, because Lex Luthor's butt hurt over what happened about No Man's Land.
Right. 100%. Yeah. You stealed my thunder.
Which I really, really liked. And they explained they don't think that Lex actually knows that he's Batman. It's just convenient that the person that they got did know. Like, that's this assassin knows more information. So I liked all that because Lex knowing that Bruce is Batman would be too, like, that's a villain you do not want to know this information.
Yeah, Lex can't know that Bruce is Batman. If he does, I think that would shift a lot of dynamics. And
correct. Yeah. And so I like that it's really just a billionaire screwing over another billionaire for petty shit. I thought that was kind of iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the problem is they hire David Kane, who is Batgirl's father. We met him in that story when Cassandra Cain's introduced. And he does know who Bruce is. And so he decides, I'm going to use this as a way to bring down Batman as well because he stole my daughter.
I really liked the reveal once it happened. I was trying to go back and think, did we have glimpses of this? And I feel like we did have David Kane show up a few times just randomly. In a few panels things during the No Man's Land or near the end of it, which would have been good clues, but I don't think we picked up on it.
Well, yeah.
You mostly had it with her stuff. Like, right. It was mostly her origin and some of her little moments. So I liked the time frame. Like, he's been around recently, but not super recently, so it was a surprise.
And it wasn't some, I'm glad it wasn't some made-up character new to this that wasn't somebody that I was like, okay, Luther, I can 100% believe he's pissed and is just going to target a billionaire because he wants his character assassinating going on.
Right.
I get that. Bring down Bruce and you can have greater foothold in Gotham over what you want to do. And then I think having it be somebody that accidentally knows the secret is even better. So I was not unhappy with the reveal of Kane.
I wasn't either. And I like that it was somebody that the reason that they know is tied way back in Batman's story. Like, David Kane is one of the people that Bruce sought out for training. He trained him in lethal arts so that Bruce would know how to protect himself or, you know, how to not cross the lines that he didn't want to cross. And so it wasn't somebody who happened upon the secret. It was somebody that when they introduced this character three years ago, they put that in there already, that he was one. It's like Henry Ducat or somebody else coming back to haunt him that knows his secret. And so the whole Bat family is like, oh, shit, like, we've got to take this guy down. And so they come up with this plan that all of them are going to take this guy down and track him down.
He leaves Batgirl out of it.
Yes.
Because she's too close, yada, yada. But I'm like, maybe you should use her because she can take down Lady Shiva and all this crap. It just seemed, it's like, okay, so one girl can't be involved because she's too close and too, quote unquote, emotional. And another girl's handicapped. So you two stay home and the boys will go handle this. I fucking hate him.
Well, Ben, I'm going to tell you, I've been building a platform box, and it's made out of soap for you for next week.
Do you need a hand up?
Would
you
like? Oh, not next week.
Oh, I have in my notes for next week.
Oh, God.
Get the soap box ready.
So the box isn't made out of soap. It's a box that held soap.
Well, I understand, but if I'm constructing one, it's more fun if I construct it out of soap.
Carving it out of soap like Boy Scout with a little pocket knife.
It's ivory. I'd get you Irish Spring, but you've been to Ireland, and I don't think Slovenia has a soap specific to it.
I will find out.
God, I hate you all.
You entirely did this to yourself for making fun of my very relevant, very topical, very fun Japanese references.
Yep.
Slovenia, bitch. Here you're not even going to get anything fun from Slovenia because they don't got no manga.
It's a problem.
They do have emus, and they also have gliding. So you can go up in a little glider that is attached to a plane, and the plane disconnects, and then you just, like, glide through the air above this lake.
With an emu?
Like a flying squirrel?
Like a flying squirrel.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Or a sugar glider.
Yeah.
Can you ride emus?
I don't know if they're known for their emus. It just, ooh.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
Where were we? David Kane.
They come over playing to track him down. He is outsmarting them, at least as much as the youths are aware. And he actually is back waiting in the watchtower with Babs, and he's going to, end her, but Batman's there, and they have a little showdown.
Yeah, and he is going to get picked up or whatever with being arrested at the end here, I think.
Yeah, and he confesses. That was the little part that, like, after Batman beats him, he doesn't cross the line. He's not going to kill him. He's not. So David Kane wanted to show Bruce / Batman that his real self was the monster that could do all these things, mm-hmm. and to bring that side of him out.
We
need a reason.
But I'm thinking the next trade.
That's my question. What the fuck is the third volume about?
Are they going after Luther? Is this going to be what makes Luther no longer president? I don't actually know. So that would be or gets him like starting to be in trouble and starting to lead towards his lack of being in the White House, because I know he's not the president anymore.
So Bruce,
how dare you actually read when you're supposed to? Aaron? How dare you?
The identity of Bruce Wayne, they let a lie that he fled the country. So that people were out looking for him somewhere else. And so I guess he does need to clear his name. I mean, he broke the law, even though he was innocent.
But he got money. Ain't gonna matter.
Yeah. And so what do we need to tie up? We need to figure out why Bruce bought a gun, right?
Yep.
If that is not resolved, I quit this podcast.
They really need to clear Bruce's name so he can enter back into Gotham society.
Meh.
But we know who did it. They need to deal with Luther somehow, or figure out if they even can deal with Luther.
Right. It needs to all be at least attempted to be addressed.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All that.
Aaron has read.
God, none of that's going to be... All right, so...
I don't want to say anything.
Reviews?
But let me ask you something. What do you think of this? Say it's
all right. That was terrible! Horrendous! I'm offended! I'm appalled!
That was
awesome!
Yes!
Yes!
No! I enjoyed the last issue. I enjoyed the issue that dealt with Bordeaux. And I thought the rest of it could have not been... could have been a sentence...
There's a couple panels in the last issue when Bruce is apologizing, and it just shows all the Robins and Batgirls' faces going, huh?
Shock and awe.
What did he say? It's like three times. They're all just like drop-jawed or slack-jawed.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it. I think like it could have been really condensed, and having read the last one, I think it could have just been one volume between the two. I mean, some of this...
Does
that
mean we have more filler coming out?
I mean, it is what it is, you know, like, I'm not going to say, but like this one, I think a lot of the drug stuff could have been summed up early and not necessarily needed. I did like the reveal of Kane. I thought that was good. And Luther, I think whenever you can tie like Superman's universe with Batman's, I feel like it's really good, even though it's, I mean, same universe, you know what I mean, though?
Yes.
But I did like those aspects, and, you know, Batman or Bruce eating some humble pie and actually... apologizing. I'm sure he will change his ways and he will
this won't happen again,
be the everyday man that we all know him to be.
Yeah, he's not gonna
bullshit.
He's not gonna decide to do it all himself, and he'll be fine alone. This problem is something that family can solve. That's his new way of thinking, right?
You give it one issue.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think we're all on the same page. Like, it was, I was worried as we were reading, I'm like, this is all just fluff and filler, and it wasn't. It was a story that had a direction. I just think maybe it wasn't as strong as the previous two volumes had been.
Yeah.
And so it felt like they were really pumping the brakes, and it did.
They had X amount of months and issues they had to do, and they did not plan it correctly.
Yeah, or they wanted to slow it down and live in the world of him being a fugitive longer, and it's fine. It just, you could zip through some of this to get to the juicier parts, and there were some really good parts in the book, though. Yep. And I thought the payoff. I thought Luther and Kane combined, the accidental hiring the wrong assassin who really knows the deep secret. And,
or the right assassin.
Or the right assassin.
True.
And the way that they had him framed, I believe that Kane could pull all that off, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't like Riddler was the one who framed him. I don't buy that Riddler has
Riddler
all the
would
skills.
Have left a note that said, "It was me."
Right.
But it would have been missing like four letters from each word, and it would have just been like super easy.
Yeah, yeah, it felt like somebody doing extra level espionage, uh-huh. spy, assassin stuff, and it fit well. So
yeah. Very good.
So Jake, I have a guess, but tell us what's next.
You'd be wrong, because we're playing a game next week. No.
Are we?
We're reading volume 3.
Oh, okay.
Woo!
Awesome.
Aaron, great. What did we learn?
It's that time again.
To do another one of our cute little skits?
No, it's time to learn the day's lesson. And to find out what it is, we turn to the Wheel of
Batman.
Wheel of
Batman.
Turn, turn, turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Well, we learned a couple different things. Dracula is not from Slovenia, and conflict resolution is much easier with a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we got.
I love it.
Yeah.
And the chainsaw makes bzzz. That's what he thinks the chainsaw sounds like.
Yeah.
That's very close.
Yeah. Fair.
All for right. The Brotherhood of Batman, I am Ben, your sunshine into Gotham and the baby brother.
I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I'll clean this up. Thanks for listening.
And I'm Jake, the middle brother. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you.
Bye.
Hopes of bitterness plants this seed.